I've been asked to give the talk on surgery for weight loss, and I have an admission to make that I'm not an obesity surgeon when I may be an obese surgeon, but I'm not an obesity surgeon. When Pam asked me to speak, I thought she was asking for an obese surgeon to speak. So I'm kind of a little underqualified, and I apologize. Can I sit down now? Probably not. Anyways, because of the word in the hospital got out that I'm giving the talk on surgery for obesity, I've been getting a lot of advice from my surgeon colleagues and how I can shape up and be a little thinner, et cetera, et cetera. But you can see that this advice isn't what I want you to take home with you. You've seen these pictures before, and you can see the before and after. They're absolutely stunning and wonderful. And the question is, does obesity surgery really result in these type of outcomes? And really, the short answer is yes, they do. I want to give you a very quick anatomy lesson here. It's a picture here you can see of the gastrointestinal tract. And when you eat, food goes down and stores itself in the stomach. It's a large capacity organ. You can actually put a lot of stuff in that stomach. It can stay in there for several hours. But over time, it empties itself into the small intestine, which is 22 feet long. Now, the GI tract is a very efficient organ for absorbing all calories. For most of human history, mankind has really struggled with food scarcity. It's really been over in the last, 100 years or so that we've actually had way more than we need. And so historically, you can imagine that those in the past who have been somewhat overweight have been considered to be prosperous, but now it's a scourge. The principal objective for bariatric surgery or weight loss surgery is really essentially, it's an invasive method for changing one's behavior. It's really to reduce caloric input, not intake, but input. And there are two principal methods for this to occur. One is to restrict, the ability to restrict food intake, and the other is to inhibit digestion and absorption. I'm going to give you three surgical procedures, and there are many others, but these are the ones that are popular today. The first is called the adjustable gastric band, and you can see this device is a silastic device, and it looks like it has a little inflatable cushion inside it. That inflatable cushion is connected to this tube. And you could see that when you have this surgery, I can't seem to learn how to do things with this thing. So when you put this device around the top end of your stomach and progressively inflate that cushion, guess what happens? You can't eat. So this is a good example of a restrictive surgical procedure where you eat and this device prevents you from eating too much. How do we adjust this? Well, we have this little tube come underneath the skin to a port, and we poke into the port a little needle through the skin and inflate it with saline. So it inflates that cushion so that you can actually get it to almost completely close off the passageway. So if you kind of want to misbehave, well, guess what happens? You basically bring it up again. This is another operative procedure. It's called a sleeve gastrectomy. And it's very much the same philosophy as the first one. It is a restrictive procedure. What the surgeons do is they take the stomach, as you see here, and basically remove the right-hand side of that. And basically, it goes into a bucket. What you end up with is essentially a very much smaller stomach. It's not any different in length, but it is much more smaller in diameter. It's a tube, essentially. So once again, you eat food. You can only eat a certain amount, a certain rate, because any more, and you won't really be able to do so. You'll have pain or discomfort, and it prohibits you from overeating. We can do these operations in many different ways, but you can see that is a long, long suture line. So this whole length of the stomach has been sutured so that it's like the seam of your jeans. The third operation is the gold standard operation. It's an operation that is called gastric bypass. Now, there are many different gastric bypasses you may have heard in many years, but this is the one that's common today. What it does is it takes the stomach, as you see here, and it puts we cut this part of the stomach and disconnect it from the upper part, the part that your esophagus transmits food down. So this pouch is very small, not much bigger than a marshmallow or two. And then we take your intestinal tract and we actually bring that up and connect it here. I use the term we, but please apologize. I am not an obesity surgeon. I am an obese surgeon. And then this limb here, as you can see, is the limb where food is transmitted down. But remember, you can't digest that food until it's digested by the enzymes that your body produces. So these enzymes are produced in this part of your intestinal tract where the pancreas and biliary tract are, and they are not connected until further down. So this whole limb, called the alimentary limb, is not being used for digestion. So in actual fact, this is not only a restrictive operation, it's a malabsorptive procedure as well. So not only are you not able to eat a large amount because it's restrictive, but whatever you do eat, if you eat improperly, it kind of goes through you. Just want to talk a little bit about risk because, you know, these operative procedures sound fantastic. You know, why don't we all have them? If it were as easy and as simple and without risk like getting a blood test, I'd be the first one in line. But you can see that people come into the hospital with obesity and they're obviously quite large. And the bigger you are, the more risk you are for everything in surgery. Anesthetic risk, risk of bleeding, risk of infection, risk that your connections don't heal, and so therefore you don't take an operative procedure or an intervention lightly. That lady on CT scan is the same size as an average person, but you can see there's many, many inches of fat that has accumulated outside of that person's native body. Everything is that much harder. Nowadays, the risks have been reduced, a lot to do with technology. We can actually operate in a much safer form because technology has allowed us to do so. So while I really want you to be aware of the risks, I think that with proper selection, those risks can be mitigated. A lot of the risks are mitigated because we can do surgery through these telescopic keyhole type devices called laparoscopy. These are hollow tubes that go into your abdomen. We could put visual devices like cameras in, and our working instruments can work in the other ones. And you can see what we can do. You know, there's a camera in there, and we've got our instruments holding things. We're not actually looking at the patient. We're actually looking at a flat screen or TV screen above. And we can do a lot of surgery in this fashion. You can imagine that there's less pain. Hopefully there's less risk because you're able to get up and moving around quicker. And in actual fact, that's true. People who have had weight loss surgery can be done, have their surgery done, and theoretically go home either in the same day or in a few days later. So that structure on the right-hand side is your stomach. And what we're doing right here is just working on the top end of the stomach. I hope that didn't affect your lunch or supper today. So the question is, who do we operate on? We can't just operate on anybody who's 5 pounds overweight. That would make no sense. So we use a level or a criteria. And basically, we look at people who are at the extreme end of obesity, people who have been unable with multiple attempts to attain durable weight loss. They have tried, but they have failed. But those people that are willing to make a commitment and are motivated to make personal changes in lifestyle, activity, and diet, for the future. We can get them back on track if we can reset their weight scale. These are the people, the last two, those with BMIs of 35 and or greater. And if you want to copy the lower bit down, because I always have a hard time figuring out what my BMI is, because they talk about kilograms and centimeters in height, or meters in height. If you want to look at your weight in pounds, multiply by 703 divided by your height in inches twice. That is your BMI. So the benefits of bariatric surgery are durable weight loss, and we can see people losing 100 pounds, 46 kilograms or more. More than, if you calculate your excess body weight, many of these operations get you down below 50% of your excess body weight. There's major benefits to all the risk factors that Dr. Hamill and others have presented by simply coming down in weight from surgery. These are the rates that I put out there, but you can imagine that it, a lot depends on patient selection. There are a couple caveats. Obesity is a lifelong chronic condition. It really requires you to have a lifelong plan for this. And bariatric surgery is never a cure for obesity, but it is a tool, it's a method to facilitate an effective change in our eating habits. And the greatest successes from this type of surgery come from those with self-motivation, those who have a purpose in life to lose their weight, those who surround themselves by supportive peers, friends and family, and have ongoing relationships with an integrated bariatric team who can help coach them along. There are four useful tips that we've discovered, and I think that these apply to you whether or not you have surgery. The first is to eliminate any drinks with sugar in it. Your surgery will fail because of that, because fluid can go through any of those restrictive processes very easily and add calories to your body. If you add fiber to your diet, it decreases your glycemic load and therefore your rush of glucose in your bloodstream, making you feel satiated. It's important for you to wait 20 minutes after going for a second helping. I've been told that many times. And it's because it takes about that amount of time for food to get from your stomach to those 22 feet down to the bottom of your intestines, where a feedback comes back, tells you that you've had enough and now I'm happy. So wait 20 minutes. Or have bariatric surgery, a lot quicker. And the other thing is to match your activity time with sedentary time. So if you like to be on the computer, measure that time and also put in the same amount of time doing some activity. There's nothing in life that's rewarding, enjoyable, at least from what I experience, without a bit of uncomfortable discomfort or challenge or anxiety. And I think I'd just leave you with this brief message. I think everybody's seen this before, but I think it's in reality what we all strive for. So thank you very much.